All right. We're spending a little bit of time with Bill Christopher, who will be here at the Overture in the beautiful Capitol Theater Tuesday, August 12th through Sunday, August 31st for the
Basement Church Ladies.
There we are.
Yes, Basement Church Ladies is about ladies who are there in the basement of the church. But naturally, they need a spiritual guide, and I provide that. So I'm back in the collar.
You're back in the collar once again.
Yes, yes. It's true, Mr. G, that people seem to feel that's a good way for me to appear.
Well, I suppose there's worse roles that one could take on.
Yes, certainly.
Absolutely. So, Church Basement Ladies is a new musical comedy. It does follow four women as they prepare food and, you know, certainly solve all the problems of this rural Minnesota church back in 1964.
Yeah, kind of a little microcosm of the real world out there. And they have their differences, but they get along wonderfully most of the time. And I help to smooth things over. But they do create a world of their own down there in the basement of the church. And I suppose anybody that has been closely affiliated with a church, a congregation, will recognize some of these ladies.
When I was growing up, somehow I grew up with a Russian grandfather, and they attended a Russian Orthodox church, and I recall the Russian basement with the church ladies down there, of course, speaking in a different tongue, but I imagine I'm going to see some very similar actions and reactions.
Right, right. These ladies speak Minnesotan most part. Minnesotan with a little Norwegian background, heavy on the lutfisk and the lefse. So it has that ethnic... Those ethnic traces, but I think any people can relate to that, even if they're not their own ethnicity, but it's still something that creeps in.
So certainly not just for the Lutheran folks, correct?
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, we certainly hope so. No, it's certainly not. And being a sort of on the Methodist end of religion myself, I have no trouble relating.
Fantastic. I am not Lutheran either, and I'm certainly looking forward to relating to this tomorrow night, I believe.
I think you'll enjoy it. The music is a lot of fun, and ladies dance and sing, and we have some wonderful performers. We were together up in Minnesota just recently. We just came down from St. Paul. Actually, we were called on to rehearse for a week, but we have all done the show before in different locations. I played in this same show in Kansas City last year.
Oh, really?
I had a wonderful time. That's right. And its home is really, it was written by folks up in around Minneapolis and St. Paul, and they the original production was done there in the little town of Plymouth, and it's had a life of its own. It's gone on and spread around and gone played many places now.
Yeah, I certainly look forward to it, and it's running here for 3 weeks, so people are definitely going to be able to fit it into their busy schedules.
I hear the Overture Center is a great place to work too. I went down onto State Street yesterday, and my wife and I walked around, and it's a pretty vital little area. Of course, your Capitol is beautiful,
absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, being on the Capitol stage like you will be is going to be a treat for the performers as well, always for the audience that attends.
Yeah.
So you get to look forward, I think, to that as well as us in the crowd.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'll be seeing it tonight. We did our last rehearsal up in Minnesota and flew down yesterday, and so today we'll be on the stage here for the first time to rehearse.
Yeah, I think you're going to love it. You're going to feel that it's very intimate, and the crowd there is usually just so open-minded and ready for the good time to be presented.
It's actually a pretty big house, but I guess it has an intimacy because the orchestra is not too large,
right,
but it has a big balcony seating. So
beautifully big balcony, but it still tends to feel like you're, you know, as big as it is, that you are, you know, your neighbors with the folks out in the crowd.
Well, I hope so. That's great.
Yeah. I think the neighborhood will show up for this wonderful event, Church Basement Ladies.
So
you enjoyed your time on State Street and walking our Capitol.
We ate down there and had to choose with many restaurants to choose from, but we finally settled on one, and we'll be down there some more, probably exploring and maybe around the university area, too. Madison's a lovely town, and I was here back in 1997, and I played, I think, two nights maybe here, and I can't remember the theater, mm-hmm. but I was here with Jamie Farr, my MASH colleague, who played Klinger, and we did The Odd Couple together.
Oh, wonderful.
We did that on the road. We were on the road for about 5 months, with 6 months, about, yeah, and we played Madison.
That's got to crack people up to see the father and the crossdresser doing The Odd Couple.
It was fun.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fun.
Klinger and his Toledo Mud Hens.
And we enjoyed Madison. That was the first time I saw Madison. I'd never been here before that, 97. So it's nice to be back.
Good. Well, we're certainly happy to have you, and I want to be the first to welcome you here.
Thanks, Mr. G. Thanks.
Pastor Gunderson, now, tell us a little bit, you know, you say you smooth things over.
Well, he has, in each section, there are four parts to this. First act is the first two parts, and the second act, the second two parts. And there's some special activity that's in each one. And he plays sort of a crucial part in bringing that, keeping the thing moving, keeping the plot moving. And he has to come in and bring news to the ladies of what's going on upstairs in the sanctuary.
Gotcha.
But he loves to come down and drink coffee. He's a real Norwegian coffee drinker and loves to have his coffee, and so he's pretty social, comes down and talks with chats with the ladies until his he has duties to perform, and then he rushes off to the sanctuary and soon to be back. So he comes and goes. The ladies stay pretty much there, but they have work to do.
They do have work to do, don't they? Whether it's talking or cooking.
Yeah, there's a lot of talking. They like to talk.
I think that is a true a mirrored image of what probably really goes on in most church basements. Yeah.
Yes. Well, in our case, there's a lot of singing, too. So, and they're lovely voices to hear, and the songs are great.
Yeah, I have the soundtrack at home that I've been sampling, and I imagine it's different folks that are doing it. It's a few years back, but I have to say, it is a riot.
Where are you from? Are you from Wisconsin?
I'm originally from Connecticut.
Oh, from Connecticut, really? Well, I'm a Midwesterner. I came from close to Chicago.
Okay.
But not exactly rural.
No, not at all.
And this Church Basement Ladies has a very rural feeling. Most of these women are married to farmers and come into the church. And the little town there is Cornucopia.
Oh, gosh.
Cornucopia up somewhere in Minnesota, and it's a very small rural parish.
Oh, it's going to be just a riot. You now reside in Pasadena?
That's right.
So,
right.
Not a lot of soe there, right?
That's right.
It's a different speed.
That's right. But I'm an actor, you know. You can do anything, and I love it there. I've lived in California now for quite a long time. I started my career in New York, actually, but mm-hmm. we moved out to California. My wife is from Connecticut.
Oh, really?
We liked the East, but then it came time that my career called me. I had to go to California, and that was back in the 60s.
Yeah.
So we've been in California a long time.
Oh, that's nice. I think California has certainly has some nice features to it. I'm very fond of Madison. Been here almost a full year, and
okay.
And all the things that you have noticed already are just, mm-hmm. they make me so happy to be a part of it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Mr. G. You're not such an old timer.
Well, I'm not a young timer either, though. Well, I'm a radio guy, so I sound like I am.
That's
I don't want to talk too much about MASH, of course, because that's in the past, and this is what we're talking about. So, honestly, I'm not really going to bring it up, because I just think people will always recognize you as Father Mulcahy.
Well, sure. But MASH was a wonderful time in my life, and I look back on it as being very special.
It is a special show in so many people's lives. It's more than a show. A lot of those characters took on, you know, they became part of our family.
Yeah.
And Father Mulcahy included.
And we had 11 years span to do it in, so we got pretty well established.
You sure did. Just a great show, one of the tops ever, and certainly your part in it made it that way as well.
Thank you.
Since we did chat quickly about it, Frank Burns or the other guy, Winchester, who did you like, kind of, not the person themselves, but the character?
Well, they were very different, of course, and it was always a little bit of a adjustment, a change, have a new character and lose an old one. But they both worked very well. I think as MASH went through sort of a transition and did more serious shows, having David Ogden Stiers come in mm-hmm. and do Winchester was an interesting part of that transition. But Larry was a swell guy, and we lost him quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
But we all loved him, and he did with Frank Burns, of course. He did that just superbly.
I loved Frank.
Yeah.
That little weasel. Well, we bless you for MASH, and so glad you were a part of it and coming into our homes, and certainly always being someone that we will, I look up to the character that you were and so many other characters on that show. I just think Hawkeye Pierce is such a great, strong character. I just think that is...
We did have a wonderful ensemble. And, we get together, we still get together and see each other. I haven't seen Ellen for a while, but I saw Mike Farrell and Loretta and Harry Morgan. I saw them all quite recently.
Oh, good. I'll send them my best.
I certainly will.
Oh, wonderful. You mentioned the great cast of characters on MASH, and you also mentioned here at the Church Basement, ladies, as far as the ladies go especially, that they're such a wonderful meshing group as well. Any similarities of characters that you have noticed between this show that you're doing now and even The Odd Couple when it was just, the two of you on stage? Or is this a whole separate, brand-new sort of thing for you?
It's quite new. Mm-hmm. It's quite a separate thing. I mean, there are different genres in the theater. Of course, we all are aware that musicals are very popular, and they have their own realism, but they are not a play like The Odd Couple where... it's really kind of a slice of life. It's not nothing in the it's done on the stage is quite like real life. I think that'd be a little too boring. But when you have somebody like Neil Simon writing the dialogue, it's wonderfully entertaining. But The Odd Couple is a play that where everything was real for us. Here it's a kind of a heightened reality. People don't burst into song in real life. Well, some do.
Some do.
And dance too, I suppose. But we're all familiar with through movies or the stage, musical comedies, and that kind of playing. And this is kind of new for me because I haven't done work in musicals before.
Singing and dancing, is this going to be pastors? One of the pastors' things as well?
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Oh.
I had. Yes.
Something to look forward to.
It's a challenge, but yes.
Oh, there. Now, folks, out there in the radio world, let me tell you, this is probably something that can bring you down there. In case you're wondering if you want to go, don't you want to see Father Mulcahy sing and dance a little more?
Oh, good.
I do. I know that I would want that. Now, before I do let you get going, because I know that you do have to get to rehearsal, and I want you to be able to take as much time and engulf yourself in the Capitol Theater and the Overture Center.
Right.
On a serious note, you and I certainly, well, you more than I, but I've, for many years in my career, have been an advocate and worked with a lot of children with autism.
Oh, really?
And I know that you have a son, an adult son now, correct?
Yes, he's over 40 now.
Yep, and he, he has... autism.
Yes.
If you'd like to speak a little bit on autism for us a little bit.
Well,
how involved are you?
Of course, raising an autistic son has been given us a whole new slant on a way of life. We did have to develop some special ways of adapting and working with Ned, mm-hmm. but I think we learned a great deal, and the program we did with him was very demanding, but very rewarding. And Ned now lives with a couple of other guys in a lovely little cottage in the community. We are very involved with him still. He has a pretty complete life. He has some wonderful staff that are with him, and he goes into the community and does many things.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, we've seen Ned change, and he really has been quite an experience for us, and one that we wrote a book called Mixed Blessings because we really felt that our life with Ned was an experience for us that was a mixed blessing. Well, we have another son, John, and our family was a very happy one, and we did things with both boys together and traveled and did all sorts of activities with them all the time, and our family was... our family life was as normal as it could be, but of course Ned's handicap was extensive.
It's a different sort of normal for sure. You know, it does normalize, and you do learn how to adapt and make some changes that will still make everyone else happy. But, you know, to focus a little bit more on what Ned needs is a challenge.
Yes.
You know, it really is. But I know that, you know, through the proper guidance and the right therapy and learning how to make play part of work and the importance of, you know, the importance of feeling a part of things.
Yes.
Yeah. Very important. Very important. Now, here in Madison, we have a wonderful thing called Common Threads. It's a place that's providing programs and services for children with autism.
Yes.
It's a wonderful thing.
It was always a source of strength to get together with other parents. And we, in the old days, when Ned was young, we always went to the Autism Society of America conferences. And those conferences were always very exciting, and we enjoyed sharing with others. And I think that's why we felt we could write a book about Ned, and our book, Mixed Blessings, which really we really tried to say everything we could. It's a book that's not in print now. I can't tell people how to get it, but we did do as complete a job as talking about our families as we possibly could. We wanted to share our experiences.
Yeah, it's a great way to learn directly from others who are experiencing the same things as you. So I'm thankful you're involved in that.
Well, I'm glad you are too.
I just find it to be a joy, and like you said, the way you've probably watched Ned grow and change and see the little things become so important.
The little things, yes.
And I wish people who weren't involved in autism could sometimes remember that as well, that it is some of the little things that are so darn important out there.
All right.
I want to thank you for your time today and remind the folks that Tuesday, August 12th through Sunday, August 31st, in the beautiful Capitol Theater, you're going to be a part of the Church Basement Ladies.
Well, thanks, Mr. G. Thanks for that.
Well, thanks. We've been chatting with William Christopher. He is Pastor Gunderson. Gosh, get on out and go see it. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you.
And if I could, while I have you here,
yes.
And you certainly don't need to, but for my own fun, if I could get a jocularity out of you.
Sure, sure. Jocularity.
One of the greatest episodes ever. And I thank you for your time and the person that you are.
Thank you.
Have a good rest of your day.